All right, ready? All right, I'd like to call the Metro Council business meeting to order for August 1st, 2019. We have a quorum, and I will ask Councillor Craddock to read the safety briefing. And then I believe you have a comment that you'd like to make.
Yes, I would. Thank you. So, welcome, everybody. Please note that we are on the third floor, in case you haven't figured that out. In the event of a fire or fire alarm, please exit out through the door in the back of the council chambers and proceed down the steps in the foyer here to the second floor and then exit to the north outside into the courtyard. In the event that there's a medical emergency or fire emergency, please call 911 and notify the security staff at the main desk downstairs. And the nearest defibrillator is mounted on the wall in the back of the council chamber, it's mounted on the wall in the stairs to Grand Avenue. And then a fire extinguisher is located on the back wall of the Metro Council chambers.
Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity. I want to make sure my colleagues and people in the audience are aware that today I want to just recognize former Mayor Tim Clark of Wood Village. Mayor Clark died this Tuesday morning from a rare form of cancer that was only diagnosed a few months ago. I attended the Wood Village Council meeting on Tuesday, and some of their staff shared some of these thoughts, and I would like to pass some of this on. He was a genuine partner with Metro and myself. I really enjoyed working with him, and I'm honored to be able to make a few comments about him. Mayor Clark, Tim, was elected to the Wood Village City Council, a one-square-mile city in the Portland Metro region, in 2009. He was selected as council president in 2015 and then appointed to mayor 2 years later. He was a regional champion on efforts including the Main Streets on Halsey project that is came out of the East Metro Connection Plan. He's involved and sat on my colleague to my right here's Low Income Fair Task Force. He also served as actively involved in the mayor's consortium. And then he's very engaged in the East Multnomah County Transportation Committee. Mayor Clark served in 2015 as the chair of the Metro Policy Advisory Committee, MPAC, and then became chair in 2016. He was also represented East Multnomah County Cities on JPAC, and these formal positions don't paint the full picture of him. He was just a really great guy to work with. He's very collaborative. He had a great sense of humor and valued his integrity and his way he approached being a partner with us. He was a true leader. He'll be missed by many. We are all very sad to learn of his death, and I know his fellow council members are very sad to have him gone. While he represented one of the smallest cities in the region, he took his responsibility very seriously, and it was very important to him to be involved and influence our regional discussions, and I very much appreciated his actively engaged in all the discussions that we at Metro have. So thank you for this time.
Thank you, Councillor Stacey, and then Chase.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, Councillor Craddock. I had the honor to serve with Tim during his terms, both as Vice President and Vice Chair and Chair of MPAC. Tim took the helm at a time when he was able to move MPAC from a phase of conflict to one of collaboration, and his demeanor, his happy personality, his strength of character, and good old-fashioned decency had so much to do with making MPAC more successful and improving the relationship between the council and MPAC. Just an all-around great guy, and I will sorely miss him.
For sure. Oh.
Councillor Chase.
It is really sad because he was such an exceptional person, and he really did kind of think about what was important beyond his, Wood Village and beyond his life, and really was interested in making sure everybody had a chance to succeed in our region, that we were addressing our climate issues, that we were working collaboratively, and he really saw that we would be successful doing that, and was so always present, always showing up for stuff, working very hard, you know, fun to work with, and I just will miss him a lot.
Anybody else? Thank you for recognizing him, and it reminds me of our state motto, Aelis Volat Per Priest, which a lot of folks think she flies with her own wings refers to the feminine, but it actually refers to local government. And it's folks like the mayor that really speak to why it's important that our democracy is dependent on local government and local people making good things happen. So thank you. All right, we'll now move into public communication on non-agenda items. Today we will have time reserved for anyone wishing to testify regarding the paid parental leave agenda item when we get to that item, so now would not be the time. But we do have one person signed up. If you would like to sign up on a non-agenda item, I would ask you to fill out a blue card and turn it over to the clerk, and we will call you up. I have one person signed up right now, and it's Mr. Llewellyn. Come forward. You'll have 3 minutes on the clock.
Let's set this up. I want to show off the material that I have submitted to you in large format. It's tiny. You have a projection board.
Well, Mr. Llewellyn, we need you to actually speak into the mic. So, we have had copies of those, and we've all seen them. So,
no, we have.
These are new.
Oh, are these new?
Well, one is.
Okay.
I'll hold it up.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, good afternoon, Council. Want to say first of all that while I speak to you, I am speaking for the people who may be watching this meeting on television, and I submit materials, and I want them to know that Metro and TriMet are keeping information from them about the light rail on the MAX corridor. And now I want to include it to the subway as well, that's now on the table, and I've updated my subway designs to make it a little clearer for the folks at home to see them. And I want to describe the difference between the subway that TriMet is proposing and this one. TriMet's proposal is much more expensive, much more disruptive to construct, and while it goes through town fast east and west, from the northeast to the west, this proposal goes fast in the same direction, but also from the southeast to the west and from the north to the south. And you're keeping the public from considering this information about how we spend their tax dollars to pay for your salaries and the operation of Metro. And when you make as big a mistake as you're making on the MAX on Barber Corridor and now with the light rail subway proposal, which I think TriMet's not serious. I don't think they're seriously expect to pull forward a plan that they can do. And I suspect the same about the MAX corridor project. There were exaggerations on the development potential, avoiding or concealing the entire impact of that project, severe impact. The public doesn't know that. And so last week I presented my case, which I am continuing to proceed with, a legal case to stop the MAX project. And this week, I'm including TriMet in that charge that we have to stop this project before it goes on further. I offer you one face-saving measure to call this a learning experience, and that is to authorize a bus rapid transit study for the corridor, which I am certain will be a much better project overall, and study of the MAX corridor through the extension of the red line from Beaverton along the west corridor to serve Tiger, Tualatin, and Wilsonville. So for the folks at home, these materials show what's possible and what you're not being told about from Metro or TriMet or our current news sources. So that's my presentation for today, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Madam President, I don't have any questions for the witness. I simply want to set the record straight that I came to the council and joined in 2013 From that day until this, I have served in various capacities, including as co-chair of the steering committee of the Southwest Corridor.
Thank you, Mr. Mullen. You can sit down. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Much appreciated.
And throughout that time, TriMet has engaged communities not only up and down the corridor, but throughout the region in public surveys and public meetings with ample opportunities for comment and engagement in multiple languages, engaged community organizations to ensure that we reached all members of the public and fully discussed many ideas for the Southwest Corridor. And the same will occur in future investment strategies and decisions. And I'm confident of the process that Metro uses for public engagement.
Yes, there's many more points along the discussion.
Indeed.
To engage before there's actually a final decision on anything very specific. So good point to make. All right. Is there anyone else who wishes to comment on a non-agenda item today? Seeing none, I'll close the public communication part of our meeting and go to the consent agenda. Today's consent agenda consists of two items, resolution number 19-5005 for the purpose of authorizing the chief operating officer to grant a trail easement to the Oregon Department of Transportation, and consideration of the council meeting minutes for July 25th, 2019. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Councillor Craddock and seconded by Councillor Dirksen. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion passes. Thank you. Our second big agenda item for today is a pretty big, momentous resolution. I have a lot of adjectives for it today. We have one resolution today, resolution number 19-5003, for the purpose of endorsing paid parental leave for Metro employees. We have with us today our new-ish Director of Human Resources, Julio Garcia, if you want to come forward, and Angie Bond from the Metro Human Resources staff for a presentation. Good morning or afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having us here today. The council's resolution today to support this paid parental leave policy, I think, is a wonderful endorsement for our efforts to become an employer of choice here at Metro. And it's great to be a part of this celebration for our employees and for their families. I wanted to talk a little bit about my experience with a paid parental leave policy. In my last role, working as HR director for Salt Lake City Corporation, we were actually the first public or private sector organization to offer paid parental leave in the entire state of Utah. And it was fascinating to see how once the city passed it, Salt Lake County followed soon after, as then did the LDS Church, the University of Utah, and other large employers in the community. And I just saw that as a great example of how a leading organization can have a positive impact in a local community. And today, I think Metro is leading by passing this resolution and this paid parental leave policy for our employees. As I understand it, we will now have the most generous paid parental leave policy of any public sector organization thus far in the state of Oregon. And so that is terrific. Our policy will be effective today, well ahead of the state's family leave that will be implemented in 2023. And what I want to say is that, again, if my experience in the past will carry over here, counselors, I think you should expect to receive emails from our employees, emails of thanks and emails of gratitude because of the impact that this policy will have on their lives and on their families. You will also very likely hear from them that because of the time that they had to spend with their newborn child, that they are coming back to work more ready, more engaged, and more productive. And I hope you will have that experience because it's a great reinforcement of doing the right thing. We have some Metro employees here today that you're going to hear from. I just want to take one brief minute to say thank you to a lot of the folks who did all the work. I feel like it's a little unfair that I get to get up here and talk about this because I just got here. But the reality is that people like Angie Bond sitting next to me, my entire HR department, the Office of Metro Attorney, Heidi Ron and Andrew Scott, they've all worked very hard to have this ready to roll out. And so I want to say thanks to them, and again, thanks to the council for this important initiative and helping to make us an employer of choice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Angie, did you have anything, Angie?
No, I was just here. If you had any specific questions about the policy or anything that you might have to add or that you just wanted to know information about.
Any questions at this moment? Councillor Dirksen.
Thank you. Yes. I'm in support of the concept. I wish this was something that was available when my family was having our children, and I think that's a great benefit. However, I looked at both the resolution and the staff report looking for what the anticipated financial impact would be and could not find that. And so I'm wondering if that is available. I'm assuming, or I would assume that that impact has been determined before they would move forward with something like this.
Yeah, and my apologies. That should have been included in the staff report, but I think Angie can talk about the fiscal impact.
Yeah, we ran some numbers when we started doing the work on creating this policy, and we went back 2 years for anybody who had taken parental leave, and the cost was about $500,000 for over the course of 2 years. So we anticipated about $250,000 a year. Right now, those costs have already been incurred by Metro because people were just using their vacation and their sick leave. So they may use a little bit more now that Metro's paying it, but for the most part, that would probably be a wash unless departments have to backfill those positions. Julio had a plan in Salt Lake, which we may consider after we have a little more data on other usage, where we create a fund that departments can request reimbursement if they have to backfill positions to bring temporaries in for some of those responsibilities.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. As we move forward with this, I would appreciate updates on what actual costs are.
You bet.
Any other questions?
Questions.
Okay. We have some more folks to testify, and then I'll ask for a motion, and we can have a council discussion about it. All right, we've got a couple more folks. If you guys want to stay, you're fine, just in case there are questions, but otherwise, you're excused. Thank you so much for all the work by everybody to get it to this point. But we've got, I'm going to say it right this time, Hyla Ritter. Oh, goodness.
Without a squirt gun.
Miss Lee. Stacey Chamberlain and Elizabeth Goetzinger. In the order that you want.
Thank you. Metro Council President Peterson, members of the council, my name is Hyla Ritter, and for the record, I love being a mom, and I love my job. In 2015, Multnomah County, City of Portland, King County, and City of Seattle all adopted paid parental leave policies for their employees. The passage of these policies were inspirational, and we began having internal conversations about bringing paid leave to Metro families. I'm incredibly proud to sit here today on the cusp of the adoption of paid parental leave policy at Metro, and I want to express my sincerest thanks and share a few words about why this is such an important policy. Right now, in most of the United States, the ability to adjust to parenthood, learn to breastfeed, heal physically from childbirth, and keep your job is a luxury only some people can afford. With paid parental leave, fathers are more able to take an active role in child rearing, and mothers have increased well-being, lower rates of depression and stress. Mothers are more likely to get prenatal care, children are more likely to receive well-baby checkups and vaccines, and those with special health care needs are supported to have improved physical and emotional health. As a society, we are all better off when kids have a strong start in life. Economically, paid parental leave aids in the recruitment and retention of valuable employees, particularly women. More than ever, families depend on women's earnings, but on average, women's earnings can still lag behind men, which has consequences for the economic security of women and their families. Research shows that working mothers are more likely to be responsible for their family's health and well-being, and access to paid family leave increases participation in preventative health care, which boosts the overall health of the workforce, improves long-term productivity, and helps reduce long-term health care costs. These factors, combined with higher levels of employee satisfaction that come hand-in-hand with paid leave, bolster economic growth. This is a very important equity issue because there are large disparities in access to paid leave across groups of people, with access being particularly low among low-wage workers, people of color, those with less formal education, and those newer to the workforce. Lower-wage workers are less likely to be able to afford a day off without pay and are often in danger of losing their jobs if they take any time off. When I was pregnant, both times, I was an hourly employee without access to paid family leave. Most of my maternity leave was unpaid, and I returned to work with zero leave balance both times. But I was lucky because I had a normal pregnancy and a birth with no complication and two healthy children. But whenever I got sick, I continued to come to work. Employees who go to work sick are less productive and risk spreading contagious diseases to others. Paid leave gives employees time to recover without having to worry about the stigma of infecting the office, or even worse, losing wages or job or their job. So the research is very clear. Paid parental leave has positive impacts across the spectrum. It's time to invest in our children. So on behalf of the babies, thank you for bringing paid parental leave to Metro.
Good afternoon, Metro Council President Lynn Peterson, councilors. I'm going to echo Hyla's words that I'm very thankful to be here and thankful to give my testimony more on a personal note, but really appreciate being part of this. I feel like a very, very important decision for all the Metro employees. Let me just introduce myself a little bit more. My name is Yulia Lee, and I work as a program assistant for the investment areas team in planning and development. My husband and I, we had our baby boy in September of 2017, almost 2 years ago. And I would just like to say a few words about just how much of an impact this policy will make in the lives of working mothers and working fathers as well. Let me just start by saying that there's a huge disconnect between our perception of what it's like to be a working parent and the reality of it. Paid parental leave is only a part of the support that the new parents desperately need because, unfortunately, as a society, we romanticize the experience instead of acknowledging how disabling and damaging it could also be. There is also a misconception of being prepared for it, financially or otherwise, because there are just too many elements that are beyond our control during the entire process. Women specifically, echoing Hyla's words, will pay the highest price for having children compared to men in terms of physical, mental health, in terms of perceived or real losses in wages and career opportunities. Speaking from personal experience, and to back it up, I had a normal pregnancy, also a healthy baby boy like Hyla, and there were no complications with my delivery, C-section. I wish someone would have told me that my recovery and bonding time, in quotation marks, would really be a surviving time filled with pain, intense feeling of loss and disconnect with my newborn, days and nights filled with anxiety, depression, nightmares, desperation. And during that time, the last thing I needed is additional stress and pressure to feel like somehow I have to resolve it within the 10 weeks. That was all that I could save all my paid leave for. And I'll have to somehow come back to work and be a full-time employee. I wish someone would have explained me that this recovery and bonding time can last for months and even years for some. I wish someone would have warned me that after my 10 weeks of maternity leave, having a newborn in daycare and not being able to properly take care of my own health due to sleep deprivation, overwhelming amount of responsibilities, I would be getting sick all the time. And I will not be able to rebuild my sick or vacation leave for days and years and months. I wish I knew I understood how this level of exhaustion will disable me to advocate for all the help that I so desperately needed during that time. So in conclusion, one more time, thank you so much for considering such an important step. I know it truly would mean the world to the working families, working parents. And just want to quickly note that there's always additional support that we need, such things as schedule flexibility, parking waitlist priority, and greater investment in mothers' postpartum mental and physical health. And all those things would greatly contribute to just a happier and healthier working environment here at Metro. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Metro Council President, Metro Councilors. I am Elizabeth Getzinger, President of ASME, Local 3580. We are the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, and we are a union of almost 500 proud public sector workers. Here at Metro,
I am also joined by Stacey Chamberlain, Executive Director of Oregon AFSCME, Council 75, and yes, for both moms. I'd like to give a shout out to the AFSCME members in the House today who are able to join us in solidarity for passing of this resolution. I want to thank you today for your leadership in adopting the resolution to provide paid parental leave to workers at Metro, and ask you to continue your leadership supporting not just the workers and families here at Metro, but also the workers across the region. The paid family leave law that Oregon legislature passed earlier this summer helped get us here today. Oregon unions, including AFSCME Council 75 and the Oregon AFL-CIO, were proud to be part of the Time to Care coalition that led to the historic passage of the state law. Union workers took time to submit testimony, correspond with legislators, and remind their employers why a program like this benefits everyone. It can't go without saying, again, while certainly men contribute and are doing so more and more to raising children and being caretakers, that women, particularly Indigenous, immigrant, and women of color, have an outsized and often unseen role as caretakers in our society. Often underpaid or not paid at all for this labor, the hits to their earning potential, health outcomes, retirement security, and financial freedom are enormous and outright unfair and immoral. So our union asks you today to continue your leadership looking at policies and programs like Metro's Affordable Housing Bond that passed almost a year ago, continue to take a responsibility for and find ways to break down barriers to economic stability, health, and well-being that our most vulnerable communities face. We need this leadership more than ever, and we know Metro, because AFSCME Local 3580 is Metro, can tackle these big problems. Our union asks you as employers to do the same for workers here. For example, small things like a transit pass for all workers, part-time, variable hours, seasonal workers, who will most often be women and women of color, cobbling together way too many jobs to make a living. They need small things like a transit pass that make a big impact. Continue your leadership, and thank you for adopting the Metro Paid Parental Leave policy. Workers at Metro, thank you, and our union salutes you.
Ms. Chamberlain.
President Peterson, councilors, my name is Stacey Chamberlain, and I'm the executive director of Council 75. And I think everyone has really said what needs to be said. I just want to thank you for your leadership on this. As you've heard, this is a first step in trying to deal with equity issues that we face as working moms. I am a working mom, as Elizabeth noted, and I was really lucky. I hoarded up my sick and vacation when I had my child and was able to take 3 months off, but it wasn't enough for me. I struggled with anxiety, and I struggled with depression, and I needed extra time, and luckily my employer provided that to me. But if I was forced to come back early, I would have done a disservice not only to my employer, but to myself and to my child. So I thank you very much for taking the step to support these workers here and make sure that they don't have to go through this.
Awesome. Thank you. Any questions for our folks coming up to testify? No, I just want to say thank you to each and every single one of you, because it took courage to come up and tell your own personal stories, but it makes a big difference in the end, not only to understanding why we did this today, and thank you for that, but also to allowing others to come forward and know that they're going to be heard and when they need that support, but also that we will continue to make strides if we know what the stories are, right? If the stories are hidden and they're not allowed to come forward, then it's really hard to make the changes. So very much appreciate it and your sharing. So you made a big difference today. Thanks. Thank you. And thank you for all of your help, Ask Me. All right. I have to see if there's anybody else who's wishing to testify.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry. Is there anybody else who's wanting to testify today? If so, you need to fill out a blue card, just like that other one that I held up, and give it to the clerk. I'm just giving you all a moment to think about it. If not, all right. We will move on, and I will ask for a motion on resolution 19-5003.
So moved.
Seconded.
Been moved by Councilor Lewis and seconded by Councilor Gonzalez. Any further discussion? Councilor Stacey.
Thank you, Madam President. Sorry to jump the gun. I want to acknowledge that just a couple of years ago, Elizabeth Getzinger came to the council, along with other members of AFSCME, and asked that the council take this step. And we elected to say, AFSCME, bargain for it. Even though taking that action on behalf of AFSCME workers would have left many other workers without that equivalent protection. Today, with a different council, including a strong advocate for making Metro an employer of choice, we have taken a different path, which I now acknowledge is the right path. And I'm so proud to be sitting on this dais with this council, as well as the former council. Thank you all for your testimony. Thank you for helping us understand what we were locked into a position rather than thinking with our hearts and minds. That's all I can say coherently.
Thank you. Councilor Lewis?
I moved more than I thought I would be, both by testimony and remarks of Councilor Stacey. First, I want to say thank you to staff. Thank you, Julio, for acknowledging, and as I need to acknowledge, that we are here on the tail end of what has been years of work and advocacy by strong employee advocates. So thank you, advocates. And I know it's 4 or 5 years, and here I am in month 7. So this win is your win. But I also need to thank Andrew Scott and Heidi. Y'all have helped me author my first resolution. That's pretty fun. So thank you. And for supplying the policy research in order to get the budgetary answer to my colleague's question earlier, because we do this work, yes, with an eye to the budget, and the budget case for this is there. We know that we are able to retain workers. We look at what Multnomah County has been able to do in 4 years with their retention numbers. So we've got the budget case, but we're also leading because this is the right thing to do for families. And we're not just talking the kind of old ideal of family. Metro celebrates families of all shapes and sizes. Metro is going to make sure that this policy applies to all of our employees of all kinds of status. So that's really big and good. And again, this is for adoptive parents, non-birth parents, foster parents, those who can only become parents through surrogacy. And for folks who are not able to use this policy for whatever reason or don't choose to use this policy for whatever reason, it still applies. Supervisors, lead workers, we all have a role to play in making sure people know they can take their leave. They've earned it. It's a right. OFLA and FEMLA protect their right to take it, and what we're doing here is acknowledging that it is something we value and we're going to pay you to do it, men and women. And the work is now moving forward in how we're going to become a better employer. Somebody has already emailed me, as Julio, as you said, we'll get emails, and I've already gotten one or two. And those are workers who have my email address. We're already in regular correspondence. There are hundreds of workers of this agency who don't know how to email a counselor. And I know that the intent of this policy is to make sure we write in such a way that it reaches them. So I'm really proud of this work, and I'm hearing from testimony today that we have more to do. Particularly, we need to make sure that health inequities of mothers when they return to work are looked at through a DEI lens, and that we make sure that we're doing the right thing through childcare, through flexibility. But before we go down that path, I want to recognize that today is a day to celebrate. I'd like to take credit for having somehow coordinated a festive atmosphere, but I think it's because we're about to go on our August recess. But we look like we're having a party up here because this is good work. This is exciting. So again, thank you, advocates, and thank you, leadership, who helped make this happen today.
Thank you. And before we move on, thank you, Council Lewis, for all of your work on this. It is, I think, something that the entire council was interested in making happen, and between our interim COO and Heidi and you, it really has moved forward in a nice clip, and I'm proud of where we're at, so thank you for that. Councilor Craddock.
Thank you. I just want to thank Councilor Lewis and those of you in the audience that testified. It allowed me to reflect. A little over 44 years ago, we had our first daughter, and I worked at Kaiser Permanente Center for Health Research. And in those days, you couldn't even use your vacation time for maternity leave. So my boss at the time, the director of the center, his name is Mitch Greenlick, as State Representative Mitch Greenlick, encouraged me to write a letter to Kaiser Permanente's management in Oakland and to request that we begin to be able to use our vacation time for maternity leave. And it was granted, and I was really proud of that, that it began the 44 years ago, but it began the work to the direction and going the right way that those of us that were mothers have had the ability to stay home if we had vacation time. And, of course, now we're one step further along that route, but to support families. But I just want to say thank you for your testimony, because it allowed me to reflect on that, that I remember how important that was to me, that because I had saved up a lot of vacation that I would able to be able to use that and be home with our daughter and be able to, when it was time to come back to work, be ready to return to work. So thank you for your advocacy and your testimony. I really appreciate it.
Any further comments? Councilor Gonzalez?
So exciting. And I'm not wearing a nice shirt. I wrote some things down because I don't want to get too emotional, but I probably will. Paid parental leave, as we know, or lack thereof, is an equity issue that cuts across all of our communities in all sectors. And I just want to call out and recognize that the United States stands alone as the only industrialized country with no national paid family leave policy. So there's a lot of work to be done for working families across the country. You know, that being said, as Metro continues to set a bold vision for our region that, you know, contains values like livability, mobility, green and open spaces, prosperity. Have we heard of those? I don't know. Did we talk about that here? You know, et cetera. We do this for the families that call this place home. That's why we passed an affordable housing bond. That's why we implemented our racial equity strategy into our open space bond that we referred. That's why we're building a transportation measure built on transit, because we recognize the struggles that families have in surviving and getting by, and we recognize our role in making that a little better. And the truth is that we need to take care of the families that work here at Metro too, because we're a part of that region. You know, our work to become an employer of choice is directly linked to our mission as an agency. And I've said it a lot of times in previous testimony and in person and in conversation when people ask me why I decided to run for office and why Metro. A really big reason is the staff here and how committed people are to the mission and how passionate people are about the work that we get to do every single day to impact people. So I'm honored to have the opportunity to vote yes today and show the staff that helped inspire me to run for office how much our families mean to us. So this is para nuestras familias. This is for our families, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Councilor Chase.
Thank you. Well, as the parent of teenage girls and a 11-year-old boy who's practicing and doing a very good job of practicing being a teenager, I realize how important it is to have that foundation with and that bond with your child, and as they're growing up and you lose that ability to kind of influence and guide them, it's all that much more important to have that time at the beginning of their lives. And it's not just a talking point to say it's good for our region and our business. The science is very clear that if we're giving that opportunity to families, that is going to turn out a more stable workforce. It's going to turn out a more stable population, and maybe stable is not the right word, but happier population and a more successful in whatever it is they're doing in their lives. And the science is there, the math is there. We know it's the right thing to do. It's worth the investment. When you have, the fact is we're not ready as parents. when we have that first baby, you think you're ready, you've done everything you can, and you realize there is so much more. And so you have to get grounded in being a parent as well as the baby. So it's for both parties or all the parties in the family. And that sets up success for employees who then are going back to their jobs and have those foundations in place. So, I think that's just, my personal experience really compels me and has me understand this is the right thing to do. But the business case for it is so strong as well that we will continue to have successful employees for a long time to come. And when we think about the resources that we're putting in, which is a very important question, it's worth every penny when you think about the returns that we're getting, not just here at Metro, but in our entire population. So I thank so much Councillor Lewis, the folks asked me, the employees here that have really put together an amazing package that I'm so proud to be supporting.
Awesome. Just sitting here reflecting, and my mom's in the audience today. Mom, raise your hand. Aww. Aww. And my nephew from Minnesota is also here in the audience. I started as an engineer at Wisconsin DOT, where I was told the only reason I got the job was because I was a woman and there was a quota. And then after starting, I was also told I would never get a job larger than, maybe a culvert replacement, because in 6 months I could be gone for 6 months. So we decided not to have kids. There's another flip side to the not leveling the playing field. That when you don't have an expectation for both men and women to be able to stay home, you can use that information and use that as a weapon. And what we're doing is leveling the playing field. So there's a lot of different reasons to be doing this, whether you have kids or you don't. It is really important, both on the workforce side, but also to let families make their own decisions and not have their colleagues making it on their behalf or being pressured or bullied into certain boxes. And so That's really important to me. It's really hard to advance in light of those cultural assumptions. So this allows everybody to move forward and to do it supported and know that you've got a council that's got your back, all of us here at Metro. So with that, I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll while I catch my breath.
Councillor Lewis.
Aye.
Councillor Dirksen.
Yes.
Councillor Gonzalez.
Yes.
Councillor Stacey.
Aye.
Councillor Craddock.
Aye.
Councillor Trace.
Aye.
Council President Peterson.
Heck yes. With that, it passes. My understanding is that we have an opportunity. Don't leave, don't leave, don't leave. We have an opportunity to take a picture. So you guys of all that you want to support, you come to support. If you could just join us up front, I think there's even like some sort of amazing sign. Oh, it's already up there. We're going to come down and join you, and we'll get a big picture of this for everybody who came out to support. Thank you.
We need a wide angle.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to ask that folks hold it down in the back. If you could hold it down, thanks. We're going to continue on with the meeting. Unfortunately, we have to keep going. Thank you. All right. Thank you all for that. We will move on to a presentation on the Housing Bond Local Implementation Strategy for the City of Beaverton and Washington County. We've got Emily Leap, Metro Housing Bond Program Manager, for a presentation. Good morning. Afternoon. Why do I keep thinking it's morning?
Good afternoon, Council President and Councilors. I'm very happy to be here, and as a working mom, just have to say congratulations and thank you for this historic action today. I have the misfortune of going after all those wonderful testimonies, and I think being the only thing that stands between you and your vacation, so...
Not vacation.
Your recess, sorry.
It's a recess of the formal business. I just want to clarify, but thank you.
So I'm going to keep my presentation pretty brief today, but I am available for questions. And I think this continues in the spirit of celebration because I am here today to bring you an update on the local implementation strategies for the City of Beaverton and Washington County's housing bond implementation. And they have both been recommended for council approval by the Housing Bond Oversight Committee. We're not asking that the council take any action today, but we'll be coming back to you with a request for action to approve the two strategies as part of IGAs with those jurisdictions on September 5th. Staff have reviewed both of the strategies, which you have all received, and we believe they meet the requirements in the work plan adopted by council back in January. Both strategies include a development plan describing how they will achieve the local share of unit production targets, strategies for advancing racial equity, that include strategies for equity in contracting as well as fair housing strategies for reducing barriers to access, and both reflect extensive engagement over the last several months and commitments to ongoing engagement. The Oversight Committee met on July 24th to review the strategies with staff from Beaverton and Washington County present to answer questions, and our housing liaisons from the council were present to observe as well. The 10 committee members in attendance voted unanimously to recommend both of the strategies to the council for approval. Today I'm going to share a few brief highlights from the strategies and the Oversight Committee recommendations, and then I'll open it up for any questions you may have. So the City of Beaverton is eligible for $31 million of bond funding to create 218 affordable homes. Over the past several months, they've conducted extensive engagement, which is detailed in your staff report and more fully in their strategy. They are planning to implement four projects with that funding, which includes the Phase 1 Marianne Apartments building that the council approved back in March, as well as a development on the Metro-owned El Monica site that would be developed jointly in partnership with Metro. Or through a developer solicitation in partnership with Metro. And their plan includes an aspirational goal of 20% COVID MWESB participation, as well as a commitment to monitor workforce throughout implementation. The Oversight Committee recommends the strategy for approval and included a few considerations for ongoing monitoring. The first is a broad recommendation related to further specificity and definition in the strategy regarding elements related to advancing racial equity through low barrier screening criteria, affirmative marketing, universal design, prioritization of rental assistance vouchers, wraparound services, and contract and workforce diversity. That was a broad, consolidated consideration that was something that the Oversight Committee included for the recommendation for both strategies, reflecting their commitment to close ongoing monitoring of those issues. They also recommended incorporation of findings from a Meyer Memorial Trust study on cost efficiency, which was something that they saw present in the Washington County strategy. And in addition to those specific considerations, there are some additional general considerations that the committee discussed that relate to both of these plans, as well as all of the other jurisdictions that will be implementing the bond, and those are included in the recommendations document that Alyssa Gertler emailed to the council yesterday. I won't go into them here, but I'm happy to answer any questions. So Washington County is eligible to receive $116 million in bond funding to support the development of 814 homes. Over the past several months, they've conducted engagement in coordination with the cities of Hillsborough and Beaverton, the other two partners in Washington County, and their engagement has reached over 300 people, as detailed in the staff report. They've set an additional goal of 100 permanent supportive housing units. That was not something that was in the requirement, although there is a requirement around identifying the services, supportive services strategies to complement the plan. And they've also included a $25 million set aside for small nonprofits and community housing development organizations. CHODO is the acronym, and that's a federal certification process that is tied to some federal funding programs. The majority of their funding will be issued through public NOFA and RFP processes, and what the set-aside does is provides an opportunity for smaller nonprofit CDCs to compete outside of for those NOFA through those NOFA processes, but also outside of them. And finally, they have established a minimum goal of or threshold goal of 15% COBIT or MWSB participation with an aspirational goal of 20% and a commitment to participate in the C2P2 initiative. The Oversight Committee highlighted three considerations along with the recommendation for Washington County's strategy. The first is the same broad strategy consideration related to ensuring measurable outcomes for all of the strategies and specificity for all the strategies related to advancing racial equity. The second was a request for more clarity regarding intentions for geographic distribution, and specifically that those that should be described in their NOFA or RFP processes more clearly. And finally, that they articulate a plan and demonstrate a commitment to achieve the 20% MWESB goal. The recommendation of the Oversight Committee also requested minor or some revisions to language related to screening criteria in the local implementation strategy for Washington County, and we have received revised language for that section that's under review by the Oversight Committee, so we'll bring an update to you at the September meeting. And that concludes my talking points. I'm happy to take any questions.
Questions?
I have a question.
Councilor Craddock?
Would you describe permanent supportive housing, and how is that different than the housing that these funds are building?
So permanent supportive housing is long-term housing where wraparound intensive supportive services that require typically, an ongoing funding commitment beyond what is part of the typical kind of resident services in a building. It requires a commitment of ongoing supportive services. In the case of Washington County, they will be working with their existing human services departments, as well as looking for new resources, which have just been approved by the state to support permanent supportive housing. And it involves braiding those resources. They plan to braid those resources together in their NOFA process so that they are not only making housing bond resources available, but also the support services resources that they have available to provide on-site supportive services for folks with special needs and more vulnerable populations.
May I follow up?
Yeah.
So just to clarify or make sure, so the funds of the housing units that these funds are going to be able to help construct, then that makes it appear to me, and I maybe had a wrong assumption, that a lot of the houses that we're building won't have supportive services. Is that an appropriate comment?
So general obligation bonds can only be used to fund capital costs.
I understand that, yes.
Most of the plans we are seeing and the majority of affordable housing does include funding for what's called resident services, which is some level of staff
available to residents of a building to help them. It's kind of like an enhanced property management service that's focused on supporting tenants and connecting to services that may support them, but not the deeper level of on-site wraparound services that a special needs population may have. And there were no commitments to permanent supportive housing in the bond framework because that the funding Metro is offering is not available for that purpose.
Okay, thank you. I'd just like to add, if I could, I just want to say how impressed I am with your work and the work of course, the partners, too. As I look through the document, your staff document, how much has to occur before this report can come to us. And I assume that you're playing a big role in that because you're guiding the process and seeing that they follow through with all these activities before this report can come to us. So I just want to say thank you. I recognize that this is a huge amount of work. And so thank you so much for all that you're doing to make this happen.
Well, thank you so much. And I also want to acknowledge Valeria Vidal, I think she's left us, who did the lion's share of work reading every single page of those plans and summarizing them into our cheat sheets, which are still, I know, a good amount of reading.
So. Very appreciative of those cheat sheets.
Yeah. She's too busy working to be here.
She is our encyclopedia of local implementation strategies. So. Councilor Lewis.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask a question. But I'm not asking, I guess, for a very specific policy answer, just a values answer. In terms of the balance between what these two jurisdictions have identified for their implementation that involves leveraging our acquisition of land through our plan, mm-hmm. We haven't approved our plan yet. Are you confident that they're using appropriate slices of the pie?
Mm-hmm.
From a values perspective, not a numbers perspective.
Oh.
Appropriate slices of the pie. That's a great question. I believe, from my recollection, that all of the plans describe Metro's site acquisition program and an intention to partner with that program in ensuring that the sites support progress toward the local implementation strategy. When we bring these two plans back for approval on September 5th, we will also be bringing Metro's site acquisition program and Clackamas County's strategy, so you will have Metro's program to be able to look at them side by side. But I believe they accurately describe how they will be leveraging those investments from Metro's program as well and a commitment to coordinate.
So, thank you for presenting today. Mm-hmm. It's been very fun reading the cheat sheet and not having to read 100 pages. Because the housing bond is very unique, obviously, in being regional by nature and being the first, if not, you know, very small subset of similar types of measures, what would you say have been the most important lessons that we've learned as an agency in designing local mm-hmm. implementation strategies? If we were ever to share them with other regions?
Well, I would say that just generally the framework of having a set of regional requirements and expectations for outcomes with an expectation that there be a local process to establish the specifics of how those outcomes are achieved is something that I think has really built a sense of collective ownership and a feeling of, kind of mutual local and a balance of local and regional collaboration. So I will say, I mean, we're starting to get contacted by folks in other parts of the state and country who are interested in learning from this model, and I think that's the high-level lesson learned, that by setting a set of general expectations, it's created an opportunity for our local partners to feel some ownership over those and how those are implemented. And I think that's a lesson that could be applied more broadly.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for all the work. Again, and we know that there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. and a lot of time and effort to make sure that we can house as many people and as many families as we can in a very short amount of time. And it's amazing how committed the entire region is to getting this done. And that is, I'm kind of speechless sometimes as to how one region came together. We've done this before, but it's been decades, and so it's a great leaping off point for other good things to be happening in the region. So thank you.
Thank you.
With that, we'll go to the Chief Operating Officer update.
Great.
Mr. Scott.
Do we have an opportunity just to make some comment?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had...
Well, we did questions, but we didn't really go
to... Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't have a question.
Okay, all right.
I just wanted to say that I'm really appreciative of the work that's been done by our staff and working with the staffs of these jurisdictions to turn these kinds of programs around so quickly.
Yep.
And it's indicative of the priority and the importance that both Metro and the local housing authorities, in this case Beaverton and Washington County, place on this. And I'm very enthused by these first two that have come forward that have been reviewed by our committee with very little in the way of even recommendation, regardless of criticism, that they've come forward so well. And that shows that we have a very much unanimity of purpose and need in the region, and looking forward to continuing to move forward on these, looking forward to hear what we get from the rest of the housing authorities in the region as well. And I'm sure they're moving forward just as quickly to get their programs in place.
Awesome. Anybody else? Sorry. All right. Okay. Thank you, Councillor Dirksen. All right.
Great. Thank you. And actually, thanks for also recognizing the work of staff, because it is a huge lift to get these programs off the ground, and they really have done an amazing job in a very quick period of time. So thank you for recognizing that. The only comment I wanted to make was actually just to thank Council again for your vote on parental leave resolution in support of it. I didn't want to take away from the powerful testimony of folks here today, but it's really great to have that. I'm going to be signing the policy either later on tonight or tomorrow to bring this, and it's just really an honor to be able to sit in this seat and have this opportunity, again, as was acknowledged, after a long time of advocacy. Hyla Ritter, I was surprised when I got to Metro a year ago that we didn't have paid parental leave, and Hyla sat down with me last fall and explained to me the process that employees had gone through and pushed for. And so I think a lot of us who are here are really just at the tail end, but it really is an honor to do that. So thank you for your support in helping us become an employer of choice. And that's all I have.
Awesome. Thank you. Again, thank you for shepherding it through the last hurdles.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, actually, one thing, I didn't officially welcome Julio today, but this was his first time in front of council.
Yes.
I probably should have before him, but we did give him an easy one, because I don't think, you know, as an HR director, in the future, they'll be quite this easy.
It never is.
So he's really, we're excited to have him, and he's just dived right in. So.
Been great. And I think he's been making his way around council and around the directors and stepping up. So really much appreciated. Carrie, before we move on to Councillor, anything? Okay. Councillors, any communication?
No.
Councillor Lewis.
Just wanted to report back that I was at the partners table yesterday at the Willamette Falls Legacy Project. Very good meeting chaired by Mayor Holliday, and we had good discussion led by our own staff, and have definitely come at a point where we're having real conversations about decision points, since we're still hoping to break ground next spring.
Yay.
Good meeting.
Good meeting. Awesome. Councillor Chase.
Well, I wanted to start with one. The only complaint I had about the parental leave presentation is I thought we were going to have a baby that we could pass around. That was the only. But
or at least a puppy.
Yeah,
one that's screaming.
Yeah. I can do that.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. The downtown local improvement team met yesterday.
For the transportation package.
For the transportation package, 2020 package, in preparation and review of the concepts and the projects. And I just, you know, we went through a number of the, you know, tunnel ideas and the configurations of light rail and things that would be really game changers in downtown. And I was really, what came across to me is just being really impressed with the team and their questions. So it just kind of motivated me. You know, it's really great that we're having these sort of local looks from these really qualified folks to be doing this work.
Awesome. Awesome. Councillor Stacey.
Following on Councillor Chase's last point, I'm almost through a trifecta this week of tours. Having done the Northwest 185th Washington County tour some time ago, Monday night it was the McLaughlin Boulevard tour. Thanks for the ride, Councillor Lewis. Last night, as Councillor Chase mentioned, was the Central City corridor. We were spared a bus tour, which was a smart move for downtown. Most of the participants in the LIT, know the areas that are being discussed from daily or frequent exposure. And tonight, for those of you who still have time, right here in our chambers, the Burnside Corridor tour discussion and launch. I, too, am impressed by the quality of interest, engagement, and in many cases, expertise of the LIT members in Washington, in Clackamas, and in Multnomah that I've been exposed to so far. And I've done a pretty good job keeping my mouth shut and just watching. Every once in a while I lapse, but I scold myself publicly if I do. I'm really glad we have the opportunity to observe the development of these packages, learn about what staff have developed for consideration both by the LITs and the T2020 task force, so we can percolate that a little bit before it comes to us.
Awesome.
Great work out there.
Awesome. Councilor Gonzalez?
I spent a few days in Spokane alongside President Peterson and Paul at the Tribal Nations Climate Change Summit and learned a lot, built a lot of really meaningful relationships, especially beginning to take a step on my own learning journey, but also how Metro can work closer with our tribal nations and our indigenous partners across the Pacific Northwest to implement really meaningful and lasting climate change policy that incorporates indigenous and traditional knowledges and respectful relationships and really constructive partnerships. So that was wonderful. In addition to that, I have a quick update on the Construction Careers Pathways project that the CTPT staff has asked me to debrief you on. I'll just get right into it. So after the July 2nd meeting of the Public Owner Work Group, a planning team of agency representatives formed to collaborate on how to carry this work forward and develop shared responsibilities of the C2P2. That's where we're at. So yesterday, the full Public Owners Work Group met and reviewed a shorter version of the framework that outlines the main principles and fundamental elements of the agreement. This document allows for more flexibility for agencies to make decisions about their implementation. Support for the shortened framework was strong, and the framework included a pledge to do the following: set clear workforce diversity goals, set project thresholds, track and review progress on goals, develop a workforce agreement, implement workforce anti-harassment and culture change strategies to collectively invest in workforce supply and establish continued regional collaboration. Again, pledges. So both Multnomah County and TriMet representatives signed an agreement to bring the framework to their agencies and to support the adoption of the policies, and we anticipate the same from Prosper Portland, PCC, and the City of Portland within the next few weeks. Metro staff will be meeting with Clackamas County directors next week to talk about the framework and are in process of scheduling a meeting with Washington County. On July 12th, there was an initial meeting of the Project Labor Agreement negotiation team, and this meeting went well, and the team expects that additional agencies will be joining in August with a tentative goal for negotiations to formally begin in September. C2P2, moving forward.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
I feel like a round of applause for that.
Yeah.
No, we can do better than that, but all right. It's one of the things that, again, started before we got here, but landing a plane is sometimes more difficult than one assumes, even if it has automated and AI in it. Anyway, anybody else on updates? I would just say the one thing I took away from the Tribal Summit on Climate Change is not just a lot of framework and perspectives that I think are shared, but also the difference between how you implement in just when we had a conversation about transactional versus relationship-based work. And we kind of all get into a transactional, if you give me this, I'll give you that, negotiations, and well, it might come down to that with those who work either on a tribal council or just with the tribes. It's much more relationship-based in terms of, do I trust you? So we have a lot of work to do in terms of establishing that kind of relationship that's not just transactional-based, and it is the difference between consultation with a small C and a large C. If you show up in the place that they live and take care of and are worried about the impacts on their own livelihoods, then it means more to them than coming to a meeting at Metro.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Anything else for the good of the order? All right. With that, we are adjourned.
Oh, shoot.